You are listening to the Yummy Mummy Podcast, episode number 174.
Welcome to the Yummy Mummy Podcast, where you will learn brand new and shockingly different tools to lose weight for the last time. And now, here's your host, certified life and weight loss coach, Laura Conley.
Hey, babes, what's up? We are here with a very special guest, my dear friend, Jessica Wayno. Is that how you say your last name?
It is. Like, right? No way. Wayno.
Wayno. Jess, welcome to the pod. Introduce yourself to the Yummy Mummies, and then we're going to talk all things time and money, you guys.
Yes. I am Jess McKinley Wayno. It's a very complicated name, and so I don't blame you. I've only been married now. I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary to my husband, even though we've known each other since we were 12. But even some of my best friends like don't know how to pronounce my name still. So good on you for getting it the first time.
Yes.
I am a life and business coach for women business owners, but that's a really vague title. What I actually do is help women who own businesses and want really big lives scale their money without it being at the expense of their time or their sanity. So we have a really, really deep focus on time mastery, on scheduling, on being a good decision maker. And as we were chatting, I think we realized that so much of the excuses that come up when it comes to our health journeys and specifically with weight loss is oftentimes like it's either we don't have enough time or we don't have enough money to get the results that we want. So
it's so good because I think if you like loop weight into it, it's like the three things we all want so desperately, like more time, more money, and less weight.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody, but a lot of the people listening to this podcast, right? Yeah. It's like the dream trio of that. Those are like the, what you could call it weight, you could call it health, whatever. But it's like, I feel like those are the things that people are constantly striving for. And so it's kind of a funny juxtaposition that a lot of my clients, I think, before they become my clients, are blocked by, well, I don't think I can do it because I don't have enough time, or I don't have enough money, or maybe I do have enough money, but I can't actually spend it on myself. So can you like talk to my audience?
Yeah.
And tell them a little bit about what might be blocking them or what your hacks are when it comes to time and money.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many, but I really do think that it'll be helpful for people to hear my own story with this, which just because I always see my biggest aha moments in other people's stories, I see myself in them. And so for me, actually, before I was a business coach, I was a fitness coach, but even that was almost, I don't want to say a joke, but started out as a very funny to my family experiment because I was actually a happiness scientist. So I was running experiments based on what people say, what society says can make you happy. And I was going through all of the areas of life. And when I got to the month, the chapter, the experiments on the body, on health, on weight, on everything. I mean, I talked about posture, I talked about like muscle and all the different things that are a part of your relationship with your body. What the most annoying thing that I discovered there was that if you wanted to be at a level 10 happiness, like access your greatest sense of both peak euphoria, but also just like daily wellness, is that you could only ever be at a 7 if you did not have fitness and nutrition and proper fuel with your body in place. And I was like, I guess if I'm gonna start being a product of this happiness business, I'm gonna need to change some things about my relationship with fitness and with health and nutrition. And so I did. And I kind of did the Insanity program. I don't know if you've heard of that. Like,
oh,
Shaun T.
Oh my God. Yes.
And I promptly threw up and was like, okay, started off with a bang and was like, wow, this is hard. And all right, I'm going to go at it for 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, I hired a fitness coach and she was like, I think you like really get this at a deep level. And what I ended up doing as a part of that, I ended up becoming a coach. And what I really was doing was helping people with their mindset, with their excuses, with their motivation, with understanding why for some people this was a lifelong journey and why for others it seemed on the surface to be something that like was just natural for them. And I think the truth is, after having coached both women in their fitness and their health and also in business and time and money, is that behind the scenes, like when you pull back the curtain, I've had the privilege of having that access to these women's brains, the inner dialogue, is that really it's just you either have useful thoughts that are helping you get towards the results that you want, or you have unuseful thoughts. And no one has purely useful thoughts, and no one has purely unuseful thoughts. It's just about how consistently you can notice what thoughts are serving you and what ones aren't. And for me, one of the ones that kept coming up even after I felt in a rhythm with my fitness was those same thoughts about time and money, though. And they still come up for me.
Give me some examples.
Yeah. So I got into this groove with my fitness, and then I had a baby. And so, you know, with any new circumstance, I was like, okay, well, I guess I need to put my routines on hold. Like, I just don't have the time anymore to prioritize this, or I certainly don't have the money to be investing in the ways that I was previously investing. And so I had that thought for not that long, fortunately, because I tried to kind of go it solo and realized that it wasn't just about fitting into jeans. That really wasn't what it was about. Everything else tanked along with it when I felt unsupported in that journey. So it was like I was saying that it was about time or that it was about money, but really it was because I didn't value and didn't see how that was like one of those three pillars, like we said, right? Like the three things that hold up everything else is if you have strong, strong prioritization of your time and your money and your body, everything else is so much more accessible to you. So I quickly was like, okay, well, that's not coming off the table anymore. And it's the craziest thing is like when I was arguing for it, it was clear. I kept coming up with more and more excuses, like excuses fed the excuses, and I'd find more evidence to why, like, no, I really can't afford this, or I really shouldn't be doing this for myself. And then as soon as I took it off the table, I've never once questioned it again. Like, I now have two children. I now run a full business. I have a team. I've never been like, I don't have time to eat healthy anymore, or I don't have the money now that I have childcare and all of these other things to I just took it off the table, made that decision once, and I never, ever questioned it again. That is a time hack. So that feels like maybe intangible to some people, but what I teach my clients is that part of being masterful of your time, it's part like pre-planning and scheduling, and I'm sure you do a lot of the same things with your yummy mummies, but also it's part being an advanced decision maker. And what that means to me is a couple of things, and we have some strategies I won't go fully into here, but what I will say is part of being an advanced decision maker means looking for opportunities to make a decision once and then to never have to make it again.
So what do you do when your brain tries to make it again? Like, you're like, I just took it off the table, which I totally get.
Yeah.
But for the listener out there who's like, yeah, that sounds like really great in theory, but like, what happens when your brain starts to like renegotiate or argue or like come up with more reasons?
Yeah.
Or excuses?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give you another analogy, because I am divorced and remarried happily, both of them. And I co-parent my son, who's 7, with my ex-husband. And before we split, I would have so many just conversations back and forth with him about like whose responsibility it was to do certain things with my son. And when we made the decision to split, all of a sudden it was like, well, if I want something for my son, if I want to get something done for him, if I want something in our house, like I needed to be the one to take it on. And that experience was so amazing for me because I realized really quickly that it's just a universal truth that we can think that it's about the time of like, oh, I don't have the time. And if you look for that evidence, you will find it left and right. But if you don't look for it, even if you just trial it for 30 days, if you're like, okay, for 30 days or for, I prefer a little bit longer, like 90 days, if you're in for like 3 months or 6 months on a plan, on a program, on something, and you're like all in and you're like, when my brain tries to question it, I'm just going to say, okay, we can reassess at the end of this, at 3 months, at 6 months. That little hack you and I were talking offline about of like, if you go to the gym, it's like, okay, you can go to the gym, you can get on the treadmill. If 2 minutes in, you really don't like it, then you can do it. We're not going to negotiate with ourselves when we know we're in our most vulnerable, precious, primitive part of our brain. And so we could take it off the table. That's what I do is like, all right, well, if I really want to reassess, I'm never going to reassess anything in the moment. And I think part of that is understanding just like the way that the brain works in human psychology and knowing that when you are making a decision about something in the moment of it, you can't trust that part of your brain because that part of your brain is primitive. It is trying to take you towards pleasure and ease and comfort and away from discomfort and challenge and just anything that feels hard.
Yeah. Or any growth,
right? It feels scary or it feels intimidating. Just honestly, it's like, can't be bothered, that part of your brain. But if I'm going to make a decision, in fact, I'm in the process of making one right now about whether my son's going to continue with this one program we're doing. And since I mentioned we're co-parenting, it's very interesting making these decisions. And I'm like, okay, like we waited till the last session of this thing to decide if he's going to go back tomorrow. And my ex-husband is like, you know, I think we'll just take a little bit of a break. And I'm like, okay, no. We can't make this decision based on the inconvenience of him having to go tomorrow. Let's take the next month. Let's re-enroll for a month. And let's take the next month to really like reassess 15 days through so that we have enough lead room for our brain to make a proper decision. Because then we're accessing the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of your brain that really has your best interest.
So good. Okay, so talk to me about money. Like, what excuses do people have when it comes to money? And I mean, I still want to dig a little bit more into time too, but let's go to money for a second.
Yeah, we can hop back and forth. So with my personal, again, like speaking to my personal experience, the hardest time for me to pursue the goals that I always had, right? Like the goals for my dream life haven't changed that much, but the circumstances of our life will change. So the circumstances of my, let's say for my career, my goal was I want to be a full-time successful, financially successful, impact-wise successful business coach. And I had that goal and then I got divorced and became a single mom. And those circumstances made all of the primitive excuses of not enough time, not enough money, like can't do this for me, gotta focus on my kid, you know, that typical like women socialized, people pleasing situation, all of that was happening. And I was like, like I felt deeply like I couldn't trust myself. I was like, I need someone to look from the outside and be like, are these real excuses? Mm-hmm. Like that's where I think the real hack is. So for that one, I really did not have the money in my bank account to be investing in the things I wanted to invest in. So one of those things was a certification that I believe you're also certified in. And it at the time, this certification was going to cost 18 grand, of which I had maybe $300. And I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? All right, I'm going to give myself until the September round. It was January 2020. I was like, this 2020, it's going to be my year, right? We know what happened in 2020, March. I was like, great, okay, now I have even another excuse of a global pandemic. What do I do? And I remember just really holding on to the idea that your circumstances just don't create your results. And so if you have a goal, if you have a result that you want to achieve, whether it's 10 more pounds, whether it's just a relationship with your mind where you watch yourself like perform a habit. You said that one time and it stuck with me. Yet you watch yourself perform a habit and you're like, oh, I see you, sneaky brain. No, no, not today. And that is just the result you want. You need to hold on to and practice only the thoughts that are going to create those results. And at the time, all of the thoughts that were coming up for me just weren't going to get me there. I remember my biggest thought was like, must be nice. Must be nice for the rich housewives who have dual income and or like they have like just an income of someone else and they have the time to be able to get certified. I just remember, and I told Brooke Castillo this to her face on the podcast that I was on. I said, I thought that the only people that were getting certified at the Life Coach School were rich housewives. And I had that story and it kept me for a long time of being like, well, that's not going to be me because that's not, those aren't my circumstances. And finally I was like, okay, well, I don't want that to be true. So if I just for a second, I'm like, if I'm open to there being another option, can we go down that path? And I just started to like neutrally be like, okay, what else could be true? What else could be true? And I was like, well, what would have to happen? I just started asking better questions. And so once you understand, okay, this thought isn't working for me, maybe do you have like a common thought that your clients say to you that you know, like as soon as they think it, like they got to get that thought out of their brain or they're not going to have success?
I mean, there's so many, but like it's not working or I'm not losing weight right when they are.
Yeah, right.
People will be like 3 weeks into the program, they'll be like, I'm not losing any weight. And I'll be like, okay, well, how much did you weigh when we start? And they'll be like, 185. And I'm like, and how much did you weigh today? And they're like, 181. And I'm like, okay, I get that you didn't lose like 5 pounds a week like your diet brain wanted to be. But but you are losing weight. And if you keep thinking I'm not losing weight, you are going to create the result of not losing weight. Or like it's not working or same idea there.
Perfect example of one because I just had the same thing with my clients, right? If it's not one thing, it's the other. If you're applying it to your weight, you're going to do the same thing with your money. And if there just happen to be any yummy mummies that are also business owners that are listening to this, I know you know that your same way that your brain works with this works the same way with money. I had a client came in to me first week of February and she was like, there's no money coming in this month. And I was like, well, first of all, we're 7 days in, but how much have you made? And she was like, well, $3,600, but that's not including X and it's not including Y. But like, basically she didn't had no clue until I asked her the question, how much money was coming in, but she had the thought no money is coming in for one reason or another. And when we actually calculated it, it was like 1 week in, she had made half of her goal. And we were like, okay. But even if there, let's say it was $0, because I was prepared for it to actually be $0. Yeah. And someone might be listening to this being like, well, I actually haven't lost any weight. And it's like, all right, girlfriend, here is the thing that you're not going to want to hear that if you are willing to hear will change the trajectory of your life. And that is if you continue to tell yourself a story that you cannot get results for any reason, you will not get results. And our brain, this is like really, really hard to understand because it's so counterintuitive, but our brain would rather be right than it would get what it wants.
What we want. Yeah.
Yeah.
What we want. Yeah. No, it likes the familiar, right? It would rather stay stuck. It would rather keep us like, it's like learned helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains would rather stay not at our dream weight than lose the weight. It's so crazy. Like, so they're going to throw every excuse out.
Yeah. And it's just because your brain is like, this comes up for me when I play board games. Like I'm like playing board games with my kid and I just like turn into a crazy person sometimes where I'm like, it's not like the rule is that. And my husband's like, I'm reading you the rule. Like it's not that. And my brain has like a mini meltdown and it's like, wait, what? And it feels so untethered because it feels unsafe for the brain to be wrong about something because if it thinks, oh, I'm wrong about that, what's true? Like, what am I right about? Am I just like free floating out here? And if you go into a program like Laura's, or if you come into a room like mine, I think one of the most powerful things I've ever done is in my time where I'm saying, hey, I'm opening myself up to being wrong. I really want a safe space where someone else is going to hold that space for me to like come back from it. And I'm not going to fall off because I feel wrong.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, we have to be willing for business, for money, for time, for weight. We have to be wrong. We have to be willing to be wrong. To my clients, I'm always like, you're not a special unicorn. Like, you really can lose weight for the last time. And they're like, no, really, I'm a special unicorn. There's definitely something wrong with me. And I'm like, okay, like,
yeah, if you want
you
to
can keep thinking, yeah, if you want to keep thinking that, go for it. But if you want to lose weight, you are going to have to be willing to change your thoughts, like, in the name of your future self. So I love the thought that you had too, like, oh, must be nice. Cause I think weight loss clients think that too, like, oh, must be nice that they can just lose weight. They must be nice that they're not broken. Must be nice that they can find the money. Must be nice that they can have the time.
I'm embarrassed that that was my thought, but that thought probably came out of my mouth daily. Like, I was in such a victim story and I didn't even see it. Like, I really wouldn't, if someone asked me like, oh, do you think you have a victim mindset? I'd be like, excuse me? Like, I'm a life coach. Like, no. But I, at the same time, when it came to money, I was like, but look at the evidence. And the worst part is too, and I know some of your listeners can probably, especially the ones that are struggling or have struggled for a really long time, is maybe there are people that are in your close circle that will actually agree with you. They see the evidence too, that it's hard or that you can't do it. And everyone in my inner circle at that time, I mean, I have told this story on my podcast like a number of times, but a year into that split, when I was really trying to make my coaching business work, I had about 3.5 clients and not half, because I was like just negotiating like, okay, cool, we could do every other week, like just to like get the money to come in, right? And I was like, oh, like I know that this can work. And right, like now it's so funny because I'm so deeply on the other side of it and I've seen so much financial success that to remember back, I'm like, what was the drag? Like what felt so hard about it? And it really was, my brain did believe that it was hard and that it was easier for other people who didn't have some circumstances, but I leaned hard on the other people around me who agreed with me. Like my dad, like after Thanksgiving, I had this really like visceral memory of being after Thanksgiving, being around like the fire with like my two uncles, my grandfather, my dad. And I was crying and I was financially struggling. And I was like on the brink of like, dude, what do I do? Like, what do I do? I have a kid and I have this New York rent and I'm like paycheck to paycheck. What do I do? And they were all like, get a real job. Like, this is time. You have to do the responsible thing. It's not working. You can go back to your life coaching thing that you made up. My whole family thought I made up life coaching. And they were like, you can go back to that hobby when you've like done the responsible thing. And I just remembered snapping out of it and being like, whoa, everyone here has been feeding this story that it's not possible and that it's not working and that it's not real or a good enough job or anything like that.
And I think people are so well-intentioned. Like, they're not trying to do it, right?
Totally.
To keep you stuck or keep you down. I think people do it with weight loss too. Like, oh, you look fine. You look great. Like, you got to just love your body. And of course, I'm all about body love. Yeah. But like, that doesn't help us to actually change to get like what we want when people are like, no, like you just, it's fine. And again, it's so well intentioned, but it's not helpful.
They want you to feel less pain. But the truth is that you're already in pain. And playing it safe and playing it small and doing everything just like as the status quo isn't actually less painful. It's just less obvious investment in yourself. You're like less like stakes out there for people to see. And in my experience now, I was like, okay, all right, I gotta put a real blinders on. And I was like, I'm going to give myself 1 year of literally only inputting people who deeply believe and have evidence that this works. And I'm just going to only put those people in my head. And I did. I invested slowly but surely in ways that I just didn't have the money. I mean, I was super scrappy. I bartended and I was working at a coffee shop, and I found ways to invest in just that 20 minutes a week. I got coaching and I was like, oh, all right. And you know what else? I will give you my two favorite, absolute favorite thoughts that still to this day are the thoughts that my clients say that changed their lives after being in my program, which is there's plenty of time and there's lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
And
so good.
Most people practice the opposite of those thoughts. Even if they have lots of time and money, they practice the opposite of those thoughts on a daily basis. Is like, just wish I had more time. Not enough time.
Not enough time in the day.
Not enough time in the day.
Oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed.
Yeah. And it's like every time any client is having a spin out, if they see this face, like they go, there's plenty of time. And at first, like my one client, she sounded like a weirdo because she'd be like, oh my God, there's just not enough time. There's plenty of time. Because she would cut herself off because she knew I was going to say it. And then you start to like brainwash yourself in a more positive way. And you got to kind of do that a little bit in the beginning when you're unwinding the habits.
Oh, yeah. I remember like sometimes I teach my clients like you can't do a 180 from like it's not working to it's working. But sometimes you can do a 180. Yeah. And I totally did that with time. My old thought was like, I just don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. Mm-hmm. And then it was, I have all the time in the world, because it actually is true.
Yeah.
It's like equally true. And I have all the time in the world. And it was, to your point, like it was a fake it till I made it. Like I just had to keep practicing that thought, because they're both completely delusional. Like I have no time. Right. I have all the time in the world. So it's like just pick your delusion.
Oh, yeah. Delusion is required to get big things. Any big thing that you want, you need to have a dose of delusion. I just heard some famous actress. They were like, what do you think you can credit for you getting this award tonight, or like getting here? And she was like, delusion. I credit delusion. And I was like, that is so good. Nobody ever admits that. But like, you have to like think, who the hell do you think you are to think that you have plenty of time? And I remember too, when I was saying, oh, there's plenty of time, there's lots of money, I remember like my family, when I was like newly single mom, looking at me like, she's lost it. She's gone off the rocker. Like, is that the expression? Gone off the rocker? That doesn't sound right. But whatever the expression is, I'd gone off it. But in the best way. And at the end of the day, like your results will prove the thought true. Your thought will become your result. Your result will prove the thought true, whichever way you want the thought to be. So I'm like, I might as well choose the thought that's going to feel good to think it and create the result that I want.
Well, it's like your 90-day experiment. It's like, just try for 90 days to think that it will work, or I can do this, or I have plenty of time and lots of money. Just try for 90 days. And then after the 90 days, you could just go back to thinking you have no time and it won't work. But you won't, because then you'll be bought in.
Yeah.
And you'll like be skinny and rich and have all the time in the world.
Right? You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just this podcast. That's all it takes. But seriously, I have all the time and lots of money too. Okay, so I feel like people are going to argue against that.
Oh, yeah. Bring all the arguments. I almost wish sometimes I'm like, I'm trying to hear the arguments that people might be making as they're listening to this.
Like, I have lots of, like I'll be like, okay, so like, you're resourceful. Like, I trust my clients. They're going to figure it out. Like, there's plenty of money. Like, you're so creative in so many other ways. Like, how can you be creative with money? And it's like, well, my kids have to go to summer camp and I'm getting a master's, or like, oh, we just had to fix a big water leak, or we had a huge vet bill, or whatever. So they will argue again, to your point and to our point earlier, for this familiarity of staying the same. They will argue, and it's not even in their best interest. So I think it's so fascinating. So I think those are some of like the, no, I really don't have enough money. See, like, let me tell you why.
Yeah. And that's that like brain's natural like knee-jerk reaction to trying to find the evidence to support your own story. Like you will find it. And I was finding it too. So like I can relate. It's kind of like this horrible thing where you're like, ah, like just get outside the glass. It's like you're on the inside. I heard this analogy once and I just think the visual is so powerful. It's like, imagine that you are inside a jar and like the label to your jar of sauce, like you're a jar of yummy, yummy sauce. And the label is like all the instructions and the ingredients. And the people outside of you, like my coach, my mentors, all those people, they can read the label. So they can like reflect back what's working, what's not working, your thoughts so clearly. Whereas you are like, you're a genius. Like, how do you know that? And you're like, well, I'm outside of your thoughts. Right. And so that's why my clients oftentimes are like, oh my God, how did you know that? You're such a genius. And I'm like, I would love to take all the credit, but like, I cannot see my own thoughts as clearly as my mentors can. And once I learned that in one area of life, and really for me, the first one was fitness and learning and seeing how, okay, in this journey, I'm always going to be in the feels and in my body's experience of like the hard parts. And I need someone who is outside of that, who isn't having those vibrations in their body and isn't having those like mental tantrums that we have when we're pursuing something big or something hard, to say, hey, you want this, remind you and show you, hey, see this thought? This is your biggest obstacle to getting where you want. Let's flip it. Instead of, I don't have enough time, there's plenty of time. Instead of, I don't have enough money, it's like, where am I going to create the money? Just ask a better question. That's what I'm telling my clients all the time. It's like, just ask better questions. If you're asking your brain to come up with evidence for why you don't have the money, that's a pretty low quality question. Can I curse here? That's a shitty ass question. You know? And it's like, we got to ask better questions if we want a higher quality experience.
Yeah. So give me a couple more examples of like low quality questions and what would be the swap for them?
Yeah. So to me, a really good filter for a low quality question is, am I asking the brain to go on a mission to find evidence to support something I don't want? So in layman's terms is like, right, am I asking my brain a question of like, why do I always do this? Or like, you know what I mean? It's like almost check and see if your thought has like a little bit of a whine to it or like a like pity party to it. It's like whenever that's happening, I'm always like, nothing good can come from this. I don't know if you've ever gotten into a coaching like battle. I'm sure you have, coaching battle with people where people are just like, they're not really trying to open their brain up to growth. Like they don't, they're not interested in coaching. They're just trying to fight you to keep their own limiting perspective. And whenever that's happening, I'm always like, what is the high quality question here? Like, what is the question that you really want the answer to? And I think it doesn't always have to be like super positive, but it has to be like a high quality question for me when it came to money was always like, what would have to happen for me to have $18,000 to invest in that coaching program?
Yeah. Basically, like, how can I figure this out?
Yeah. And like, I was like, okay, well, I would have to have $18,000 and I don't, right? Your brain is like gonna immediately give you like all the obstacles. Expect that, right? And then you go, okay, well, what would it be in the number of clients? Do I have the space? Do I think I could get that number of clients? All right, well, do I really have to have all 18,000 to start the program? No. Is there a payment plan? Okay. What do I really have to start? Would I be willing to put some of this on a credit card? And would I be willing to give myself a year to get this? What would that mean? Do I think that having my health and fitness in order, that would lead to me having a better life in all of the other areas, including making more money?
Yeah.
It's like, yes. And when I asked all those questions, the answer kept being like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I could figure that out. And then I would stumble down like this momentum avalanche of more evidence that was saying like, okay, this is possible. I could see how I could do this. Your brain loves to problem solve, and it will problem solve a low quality question or a high quality question with equal like fervor. It'll be like, yeah, let's go. I got this. You're the worst. You can never do it. Blah, blah, blah. And it'll pile out all the evidence if you're asking that type of question. Or if it's like, yeah, there's plenty of money. First, it's going to be like, no, there's not, because that's what you've conditioned it to do. And then you're like, yeah, okay, but let's just play around a little bit. Okay. If there was, mm-hmm, what would I need? What would have to happen? Like, usually I'm not saying we're going to do it, but get creative. And it, you'll find that your brain will do the work for you. It's not as hard as you, yeah, think.
Yeah, it's like I teach all my clients about confirmation bias, and I make them do this game where they look around the room. Have you ever played this? Look around the room and see how many blue things you can count, right? And then they'll like count, whatever, 12 blue things. And then I'll be like, how many red things did you see? And they'll be like, zero. And I'm like, well, why didn't you see any red things? And they're like, well, I wasn't looking for them. And I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Boom, baby.
You see what you look for. And so you have to train your brain to look for what's going to serve your future self, what's going to serve like the results that you say that you want. And we're so addicted to like these talk tracks that don't actually serve us.
Ooh, that just blew my mind a little bit. I'm going to let you guys in on a little fun game that Laura and I played a couple of weeks ago. We played this game that, I don't know, we invented when we were like drinking wine.
Yeah, we invented it. We're so smart. Yeah, we were drinking wine and why do people hate on wine? I get my best ideas drinking wine.
I was actually drinking whiskey, I'm pretty sure. But either way, we were a little tipsy, and we were having a conversation about how like we have energies about us. And we were like, what would be if you could use one word to describe each other? What would it be? And we were like, all right. And we had this powerful experience of only using one word to describe us. And what you just made me think of is, if I had had this experience and I was in the middle of a transition, like let's say you are a current yummy mummy and you're in your first round ever with Laura, and you were to ask someone in that program, like how long are your programs? Like 6 months?
Six months.
3 months in, you were to ask another yummy mummy for your word. They would see you in this very clean, pure, new light of exactly where you're at. Whereas if you asked someone that knew you better, like your sister or your friend, what word they would use to describe you, it would come with so much more baggage. I'm not saying it would be a worse, but I'm saying that, like, yeah, when we're trying to make a change, when we're trying to move forward into being a version of ourselves that has less weight and more time and more money, you almost need to like shed this layer of saying it's going to take the people around me that love me the most, the longest, to see me in this new light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's extra important if you want to make a change to surround yourself with a community that like really, really is all about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be bought in and they're going to see you in the light that you want to be seen in.
Yeah. And we were talking about this a little bit before we hit record, but like, that is the power of being in a community where you're all trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it makes it so much easier. It's so much more supportive. Like, I do think we try to do so many of these transformations, whether it's like time or money or business or health or weight or whatever, alone. And it's like, it's just so much harder to do it alone.
Never. I'm just never doing it again. I just think that human condition, we're not meant to be doing anything really on our own. This individualistic society has kind of evolved in this weird way that's not natural. We're like a tribal people. Not to get sociological on you, but like it really is not in our nature to do anything, especially like a big transformational thing.
Yeah.
Solo. And so, yeah. And even like more nuanced stuff, like your community is going to be such a different vibe. And it's so right. Like if you just are listening to Laura and you're like, oh my gosh, I just love her. She's the one to help you lose weight. Like I'm telling you, you will lose weight faster in her room because her people will be all in that same energy. And like Laura and I met in a similar room, in a different room in terms of like money making. And we had that thing in common, that like real high ambition, because the person that curated that room was very ambitious, right? And then we've gone into different rooms and gotten different results because it was all centered around like that collective energy. So I think that there's room for deciding like, what am I going after? What's the vibe? Do I like the energy that the person that's curating this experience holds? And if so, just I'm like, blindly buy me in.
Go for it. Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. I do think so many of us still have, I mean, you and I like don't want to do anything alone ever, but I think so many people like wear it as like a badge of honor. And I think it like it hurts us so much because then we put all this judgment on ourselves. Like I should be able to do it alone, like whether it's motherhood or losing weight or building a business or whatever. And it's like, no, we're actually supposed to your sociological point. We're supposed to be doing this together. Like it's unnatural to be doing it alone.
And I hear the arguments of like the introverts, right? Because you and I are so clearly extroverted, but I just had our friend Priyanka on my podcast and we were talking about how for her, she's an introvert and it's actually not in her nature to go into these rooms. Like she has to give herself pep talks to put herself into these higher level rooms. And she thinks that like, oh, maybe her brain is telling her like, maybe I should do this alone. And she does also have a lot of that conditioning from her culture and from just being also being a doctor and having that whole thing. It's like, do everything as a competition and on your own and badges of honor along the way. And like, when it comes to weight loss and when it comes to money and time, like there's just not a place for competition, really. It's just not a healthy way to pursue that, really. You can only gain momentum from this. And yeah, maybe it is going to be a little bit vulnerable in the beginning, but that is also where the sweet spot of like all the stuff that you really need to work on comes to the surface. Like you cannot do those deeper works on your own because you can't see it because you're so in it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. And these groups, these communities, like it's just, it actually holds the space for you to do the work, like for you to get vulnerable. Like, whereas if you don't have like the physical space, like the Zoom call, the coaching call on your calendar, you're not going to be asked to get vulnerable. And like, if you don't get vulnerable, like what you're not getting vulnerable about just continues to have so much more power over you. Yeah. So it's like whatever's in your way, whatever's challenging you, like just loses its power in a group because once you air it, it goes poof.
The other thing that people definitely don't think about when going into a group experience, especially if you've never been in any sort of group coaching experience, I remember my first time, one of the ancillary benefits I definitely didn't think about was like sometimes like I don't want to be the one to bring it up and then someone else can just be the one to bring it up and be vulnerable and I could watch them get coached on their thing in a completely safe space and just be processing it over here. And I didn't even have to get into any detail. And I absolutely healed every single thing that I came for just by watching someone else get coached. So if you are an introvert, so that's like even more of a benefit. Okay.
It's so good. Okay. So to wrap up, Jess, what kind of takeaway would you leave them with? Any hacks around time or money that they can start practicing? I mean, you gave us so many good insights already, but anything else you want to leave?
Yeah, here's what I'll say is that this whole thing is this whole world that we're living in, this whole everything that you want, it's all made up. It's like the Matrix. Like I really, really do believe that the more in detail, the more I like get focused in on these goals, I'm like, I sometimes have to step back and I'm like, wait, this is all made up. Like all the the things that we have to be and that we have to do and even the goals that I want, like I don't really need any of them. And even when I was at my most desperate, like I really had most of the bare necessities of what I needed. And grounding in that and getting to a place where you can come into gratitude for exactly where you're at will help you then have a clean vision of where you're going. Because if you are trying to like white knuckle weight loss or money or time, it's just going to always elude you. And so now what I really think has made all of the goals. The higher I push myself and the further I push my goals, I keep grounding myself with, listen, it's all made up. And yet I still want the thing. We're just going to go after it in the funnest way possible, with the most gratitude, with the most self-love and self-trust, and absolutely with a belief that everything that we want is possible. And if you don't, if you don't believe that, you really you shouldn't do the work. You have to believe it's possible for it to work.
It's so good. It's so good. I know one of my words of the year, even though I try to teach my clients to only pick one, but I had to pick three.
I did too.
So contentment, or content, because like that's what I have to remember. And it's so much easier to create, like to your point, like the weight loss or whatever, from a place of like enoughness or I am content. I do have everything. And to your point too, it's like, it's just way more fun that way. It's not such a grind. It's not such a white knuckle. What is your, what's so your word?
So I have my word of the year on rings. I stack them. So last year, my word was, oh, but careful. As soon as you do this, as soon as you have it engraved, your second word rushes in like, nope, this is my actual words. And
oh,
you
that's what happened to me last year. Now I can't even remember which ones they were, because I like, I have to put it on, but I do have to put it on a piece of jewelry, because like it makes it official.
Oh, it's so fun. I'll send you the link. But my last year's was sold out, and it was the first time that I sold out a program.
Nice.
I had it on my ring like every day to look at. It's definitely a mental battle, because on the days where you're like struggling, it's like in your face, you have to, right? And on the days when you're like flying high, you're like, see, I know I can do it. But it's just all the more reason to get in those containers that you can get your mind right. But my word this year is known. And it really is about just getting this mission known that women, because I not only believed that as a single mom, I was destined to struggle and have not that much money and definitely not that much time, because I was building my entire business in the 9 hours that my son was in preschool, and that was it. And I was just like, that's plenty of time. So if those of you are like, you don't understand, blah, 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 like now I have two kids and I have all the excuses and I work from home and my daughter's right on the other side of that. And, you know, we were having like a bunch of issues, right? You know, Laura, I had to push this recording. And my thought the whole day was just like, well, there's plenty of time. So it will reveal itself to me. Like I just let the time come to me sometimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ooh, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. To be in that receiving state and out of the pressure. And then your kids feel that too.
Yes. And then you know what else too? Like it happens in the ways that you just don't expect it to, right? Mm. Even this time around with like the baby weight, this time around, I didn't get on a scale at all, which is like a first for me. And I was just like, I just want to get back into a routine. So I just scheduled, I used my own time hacks for my getting back into my routines. And all of a sudden people were like, oh, my massage girl at the nail salon was like, Kayla Delgado, I speak Spanish, right? She was like, well, you're so skinny. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, am I? Like, oh. And it's just like, oh, when you stop thinking about it and when you really are in a place of gratitude and just like, I'm in on the process. I'm in on this. I believe it's going to work. All of a sudden, it like just, it kind of just magically happens. It sounds so delusional, and maybe it is, but it works.
Who cares if it works?
Who cares?
That's so good. Okay, how can the people find you? How can the Yummy Mummies find you and stalk
you? Yeah, come on over. Come stalk me. I also have a podcast, which is currently called Sincerely Future You, but I would just search my name over there because it's about to be changing, and I think it's going to be changing to Plenty of Time and Lots of Money, or Lots of Money and Plenty of Time. I'm not sure, but you can find me, Jess McKinley Ueno. That's JessMckinleyUeno. And you can also find me at that same long name on Instagram. It'll be in the show notes, I'm sure.
Amazing. Oh yeah, totally. It will be. Thank you so much for coming on. This was such a fun conversation. I could talk to you forever, obviously. Oh,
samesies. It's because, so my word for Laura is rainbow.
Yeah, rainbow.
That's my word for you. I forget what your word for me.
Oh, mine was eclectic.
Oh, eclectic.
You guys should see her wallpaper. It's like the perfect, if you're watching this or you want to go see it on YouTube, It's so cool, but it's very
I always have to give those disclaimers for the people that are going to get like seizures from looking at all the prints. Okay, bye, yummy mummies. I love you so much.
Bye, yummy mummies. Have the best week ever. Hey, if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, I would love it if you leave a rate, review, and a subscribe on whatever you're listening to this podcast in. Pretty pleased with a cherry on top. It would help me so much, and it would help all the other mamas out there hear this message. Thank you in advance. I really appreciate it. And you have to come check out the Yummy Mummy Experience. It's my proven lose weight for the last time group coaching and course. Head to lauraconley.com and just click work with me. Other than that, you guys, I would love to give you a free gift. If you want your free listener only gift, go to lauraconley.com/gift. And from there, you will get your free best ever weight loss hack. So cool. The last thing I want to tell you guys, is I do have a free Facebook group. It's called, you guessed it, The Yummy Mummy. Lose weight for the last time, end body drama, and get food freedom. You can just search that in Facebook, or again, you can head to the show notes and you'll find the link there. All right, you guys, have the best day ever.